Petersburg Borough Assembly meetings are brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, helping clients find out how to protect any valuable asset from stamp or teacup collections to houses, boats of all sizes, and everything in between. Plenty of information from the local agents is available at Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, 772-3858.
Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And it is unanimously approved. The next item on the agenda is public hearings and bid awards. And we have an approval to award purchase of an Alltech AT40G service truck for the Borough Electric Department from Alltech Industries, utilizing the National Joint Purchasing Alliance contract for an amount not to exceed $139,633. And we have a recommendation from Public Works Director Carl Hagerman. And is there anyone who wishes to testify on that? And there is no one in the audience, so we will move on. Oh, do we need to vote on it? I'm sorry. I need a motion to...
Second.
It's been moved by Nancy Strand, seconded by Jay Stanton Greger to approve the award of this vehicle from the National Joint Purchasing Alliance contract. Is there any discussion?
Just a question for Joe. Is there a reason that you established for the sale of the existing vehicle a minimum of $15,000, or should it be higher than I was noticing in the narrative?
That was a figure that Carl came up with, and I really couldn't speak to that other than when he told me. I told him I thought that would be a good starting point. The value of a unit like this that's kind of reached the end of its life is pretty much dependent on the purchaser, how much they're willing to pay for it.
Go ahead, Carl.
Good information, Bob. When we looked at trading the unit in to Alltech, which is normal, they said it was worth about $10,000 to them. So I believe that it's worth more than that, more than $10,000. And if we put it for sale in our region or locally, I think $15,000 is a good place to start, get people interested in looking at it. And hopefully we'll get more than that. But that number was partly arrived at the value that Alltech put on it.
Okay, thank you.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Cindy?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
And that award purchase is approved unanimously. The next item on the agenda is visitors' views related to the agenda. Is there anyone who would like to speak to an item on the agenda? Seeing none, we'll move on to the next item, visitors' views unrelated to the agenda. Is there anyone who wishes to speak on an item? And there are none, so we will move on to board commission and committee reports. There were none filed. Are there any that need to be included? And there is nothing on the consent agenda. And the next item is report of other officers. Is there anyone else that has a report? Hearing none, we'll move on to the mayor's report. We just have a few quick items. Southeast Conference 2016 annual meeting is scheduled for Petersburg, and that will be happening in September of 2016. Hosting this event will bring many residents of Southeast Alaska and coastal Canada to our community, which will be, of course, an opportunity for folks to interact with Southeast Conference, and also will bring some economic benefits as well. We will need to have some organizational and planning meetings to be planning, and we will start that sometime this winter. So this is just a heads up that will be happening. We'll need to be organizing meeting space and food and all of those kinds of logistics. The next item on the agenda is the Draft Comprehensive Plan and Waterfront Master Plan. A new Draft Comprehensive Plan and Waterfront Master Plan can be viewed or downloaded by going to the borough's webpage, and that's at www.ci.petersburg.ak.us, and clicking on the link. And the comment deadline on the draft plans is July 31st, 2016. And I encourage everyone to take a look at it. And even if you can't comment on the whole, at least comment on the parts that are of the most interest to you. Did you have a comment, Liz, that you wanted to make?
It's 2015, not 2016.
Oh, you're right. That's okay. So July 31st, 2015, comments are due this year, not next year. Just want to make sure folks realize that. And then the next item on the mayor's report is seeking letters of interest. We have several. Petersburg's Planning and Zoning Commission is seeking letters of interest for two vacant seats. Interested parties must be registered borough voters and must have resided in the borough for a period of 1 year prior to taking office. Appointees will serve until the October 6th, 2015 municipal election. And then the Historical Preservation Committee also has a vacancy for an architect or an at-large member. The appointee will serve until December 35th of 2015. And letters of interest may be addressed to the borough clerk or emailed to D. Thompson, that's O-N, not E-N, at petersburgak.gov, or mailed to P.O. Box 329, Petersburg, AK, 99833, or you can drop them off at the Borough Administration Building. And we also want to remind folks that Ordinance 2014-18, which reestablished the Historic Preservation Committee on August 4th of 2014, states, the commission shall meet at the call of the chairperson or any four commission members on an ad-needed basis. The commission will be dissolved if there are no meetings of the commission with any two-year period, and as yet they have not met, so would encourage those folks to call a meeting and at least get to organizing. And then final thing on the mayor's report is the appointment of the alternate director to CSWA. Ordinance 2015-10 was passed in its third and final reading at the June 15th Assembly, authorizing an alternate director for the CSWA board. Assistant Public Works Director Chris Cotta has been recommended as the alternate director by Public Works Director Carl Hagerman. And that concludes the mayor's report. And the next item on our agenda is the manager's report. Yes?
The appointment of Chris Cotta is okay with everyone.
Are there any objections to Chris's appointment? All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Property tax bills were mailed out on July 1st. They are due September 30th for everyone's information. The planned rate increases for water, wastewater, and sanitation will all be implemented on the next utility bills that are mailed out at the end of July. So if you see slight increases there, that's what they're all about. Rockin' Road will be starting the forced main installation on South Nordic on July 13th. We again advise the public, drive slowly through the area and pay a special attention to the flaggers or other traffic control devices that may be in use. Drivers can expect up to a 10-minute wait at times, so plan accordingly as you go through those work areas. Our staff continues to coordinate with CECON to replace residential water valve boxes on Haugen Drive as CECON works on the sidewalks going up Haugen. One half of the final slab for the cemetery columbarium has been poured. Rebar will be tied and the second half of the slab poured soon. We have, in Public Works, have rented the PIA brush cutter and have been slowly making our way through town to cut back grass and brush on road shoulders and ditches. So again, keep your eyes out for those folks and stay clear of them. We're in the motor pool fund with Carl's work. We're working on utilizing the various cooperative purchasing agreements to arrive at the award recommendations for the FY16 equipment and vehicle purchase. You got one of them today, which was the service truck. We also have a public works street sweeper and a patrol SUV for the police department that'll be coming up soon when we get through that process. Middle Harbor repair project is moving forward. Tamiko met on the pre-construction meeting with P&D and the staff last week, and we'll start seeing them mobilizing for that project as well. The Chautauqua group was at the manor while they were here. The residents up there really loved it. We went ahead and included the Mountain View Manor van in the parade on Saturday, so some of the residents could actually be part of the parade, and it seemed to go really well. So thanks to everyone who made that happen. The self-inspection for assisted living was submitted to the state a week ago Friday. Basically, we go through a process of making sure we're doing everything and turn it in, and then they can come back and double-check us as if they need to. Shelin is working on her continuing education credits. This is part of the necessary credentials she has to keep for us to continue to operate the facility. Kelly's group and the PD, we're actually kind of working, he's working on a new staffing model. This would basically require some of the officers to serve in a dispatcher capacity to cover gaps on paper, and this new model should increase our efficiency and decrease our overtime costs. So again, we're going to keep working on it as our staffing becomes harder and harder to meet budget numbers. Welcome back. Doc Lopez is back on limited duty. He was out for a little bit, but then he came back and announced he's going to retire July 31st after over 20 years of service to Petersburg. So I want to thank Doc, and we'll do some more of that later for all of his service to the community. Chief Swihart met telephonically with the other jail managers related to the community jail contract and has been appointed to the representation committee to assist with future planning. This is important. The recent change with the state budget, we lost roughly $150,000 in funding for the community jails, other communities in similar fashions. And this is a committee that's going to try to coordinate between corrections, Department of Public Safety, and municipalities on the needs and how to make this work for everybody. Our Unit 56, which is one of our chargers in the police department, is continuing to require significant repairs and is being phased out. It's the one we'll be replaced with a mid-sized SUV that we can use for year-round service. One of the things I've asked the motor pool as well as the PD to do is to move away from vehicles that we can't use year-round. Not that we get that much snow, but it happens enough. We need all-wheel or four-wheel drive vehicles so the officers can respond and not be limited on the number of vehicles that they can be used. Ryan and Sandy had a meeting with the Alaska Department of Transportation to discuss and review the Petersburg Airport Emergency Plan. And Sandy also attended the SHARE Coalition meeting to discuss environmental strategies for drug and alcohol issues in Petersburg. It's going to become more and more important as budgets are cut throughout the state and through the mental health areas on what money is available for, talking and dealing with these issues. So our local coalition group is going to take a bigger and bigger share of trying to figure out how to attack those issues. Final payment issued on the library construction project does not include the landscaping, but the actual construction itself finally has been closed out. We were holding money back for a couple of punch list items that had not gotten done. They have now been done, and we were able to close that out. Community development is working with Department of Natural Resources to move the municipal land entitlement process along, get it moving. And there's a agenda item later in your agenda that is part of that. We issued three letters under the new nuisance ordinance in response to resident complaints and the building official investigation. One is resolved. Second has a signed voluntary correction agreement allowing them until August 31st to abate the nuisance. And the third is pending the property owner's return to town in early August. So slowly but surely we're working through some of those, and we'll see how it works. And just kind of a shout out to everyone that was involved with the 4th and the Chautauqua visit. Donnie's group, I mean, pretty much everybody in the back of the room as far as department heads were involved in one way, shape, or form, let alone the chamber and many, many community members. So thanks to everyone for making it both events very special for everyone. So that's it.
All right. And I would ditto those comments on the 4th of July. I heard lots of positive comments both online and in person. So the only other thing that I wanted to add was I also attended the Share Coalition meeting, and one of the points of discussion was reviving the Crime Stoppers program. Mm-hmm. And apparently there is a fund available for that, and there's been some recommendations about how to handle that. So that's one strategy they're looking at employing. The next item on the agenda is unfinished business, and we have the ratification of IBEW collective bargaining agreement. IBEW member employees in the electric department voted to ratify a new collective bargaining agreement on May 29, 2015. The cost to the borough of the new agreement will be $156,292. Manager Giesbrecht or Clerk Thompson will highlight the contract provisions prior to the assembly taking a vote to ratify the agreement. Is there anything else we need to say about that right now?
Just the quick thing, it's $156,000 over the life of the contract, or 3 years. The kind of the main key issues were PTO was reduced for IBEW employees to match the PMEA employees. These are new employees being hired in, so both contracts are the same now in that area. Cleaned up some language regarding the use of temporary employees, work performed on Sunday, and travel for training, and providing safety clothing and equipment. Again, kind of contract cleanup more than anything. We did some adjustments on a couple of positions that we felt we were falling behind on. Where when we did our comparisons, we were not paying enough. Made some adjustments on relationships between a couple of different positions so that, you know, the supervisory type are making enough more than the person to encourage people to want those kind of jobs with the added responsibility. Did freeze some salaries where we felt we had more than compensated folks, and they're doing really good jobs for us, but they'd reached that kind of point where that job is pretty much capped. And reality is the percentages, we get comes down to, on average, 2% the first year, 2% the second year, and 1% the third year of the contract. So, grand total, like I said, about $156,000 over the 3 year life of the contract. So.
Moving on to.
I need a vote on that one,
oh,
please.
Yes, okay.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
I need a motion.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved by Nancy Strand and seconded by Jay Stanton Greger that we ratify the IBEW collective bargaining agreement. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Jay?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes. And that has been approved unanimously.
Thank you all.
Moving on to new business, we have Ordinance 2015-11, an ordinance of the Petersburg Borough adjusting the FY 2016 budget for known changes, and this includes a variety of things, including public safety radios, changes in the TRT funding, and a boiler for the community center. And I don't know if you want to speak to that a little bit, Donnie?
Late.
Okay. I need a motion.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved by Nancy Strand, seconded by Jay Stanton Greger, that we approve Ordinance 2015-11. Is there any discussion?
I guess, like, are there any questions about the boiler situation?
Just one question. How if when we replace or when we fix what we have there, what would you guess the lifespan? It would be another 10 years or so? Just guessing. I know there's a lot of variables here. Or should it? Let's put it this way. If everything worked all right.
I would truly hope that 10 years would be at least the lifespan of it. But that would be just a guess. At this point, we're about 9 years from the time that they were originally installed. So as long as we don't have any other additional issues like the one that we had that, you know, blew both of the boilers at this point, we should be fine. And really, those two boilers, when they work in unison the way that they're supposed to work, we shouldn't have any issues with them at all. They should be able to hold the load very, very easily. It's just an unfortunate set of circumstances.
Okay. Thank you.
Spinner, may I? Donnie, I know the technician that came up and did the evaluation. Did they have any additional recommendations for us that would, you know, help us avoid this in the future or tell us why it happened? I mean, they have any...
According to the report that we have been given, it's pretty vague. The issue that they have found was that there's these connectors that, as the electricity tells it to, I'm sure Joe could probably explain this better than I could, but basically that there's these connectors that when they're told to turn on the, I am burnt today. Anyways, to turn on the actual boilers, the elements, thank you, Joe, they snap together and they run until the system tells them to let go. Well, when he started pulling off those connectors, he found a lot of pitting on those, which that pitting led to them sticking to each other, which then they couldn't let go when they were being told to let go, which then... forced all those elements to continually burn and burn and burn, which led to the fire that we have right now. So one of the things that his suggestion came to was is to pay attention to those connectors a little bit more. He said he's never seen that before. It's the only thing he can see is that a continual amount of electricity was going through those real fast continually that was making that happen, but without actually watching it happen, those are all guesstimates at this point.
Thank you.
Any other questions about any of the other budget items?
Yes, just one item there. Joe, on the electrical side of that, the upgrade with your SCADA system, give me a little more explanation of what the idea is. Is this putting money back into your budget, or what?
You bet. This our SCADA system, which is the system that communicates with the hydro, for instance, and all the rest, is in need of upgrade. I was not going to do the upgrade until next year, but some of the key components have begun to fail, and they're no longer off-the-shelf items. They're not made anymore. They're obsolete. So it put us into a bind to get it fixed. So that's why I said premature failure. We were hoping to get through till next year. We didn't make it. And so we're trying to move next year's budget item into this year's. We had $5,000 in this year's budget in this area of work, but the... proposal that we got to do the work came in at about $20,000, so we're adding $15,000 to the $5,000 in order to cover that.
Okay, thank you.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Nancy?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
And that passes. The next item on the agenda is Resolution 2015-12, a resolution setting fees for the use of Petersburg Borough Emergency Medical Services. And we have a memo from Fire EMS Director Dixon, and a billing survey that shows that our rates have not changed since 2002, and we are comparatively low. So this is a resolution to increase the rates to bring us more in line with what's going on in the region. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved by Bob Lynn and seconded by Nancy Strand that we approve this resolution. Is there any discussion?
Sure, Jay.
Question. Excuse me. What is the average cost of every time the ambulance goes out?
It's a really good question. I tried to throw something together. I did not take into account what it costs to store the ambulance in the building. We don't pay the volunteers, so I tried to average the costs we use to train the volunteers, supplies, replaceables, motor pool expenditures, that type of thing. So I just tried to wing it today because I didn't really have a lot of time. But roughly about $359 a call.
Thank you. And follow-up. Here's my concern with this following the Medicare reimbursement model is I think it puts a pretty, potentially, especially at the $827.29 mark, I'd say an unfair burden on, let's say, working family who may be paying that out of pocket as opposed to Medicare spending. I mean, definitely I'm glad Medicare people get that service and don't have to pay for it out of pocket. But again, I think it puts an unfair burden on families to pick up the slack on that. And I don't think I can approve it in this the way it's written right now because of that. It seems like a lot. And sorry, one more is that average you came up with, does that include ALS emergent too, or do you have an average for each one?
No, all I did was it wasn't broke down with the type of call. It was basically averaging. We have about 200 calls a year.
Sure.
And taking all those costs into factor in dividing it. That's all I could come up with. Jody was going to ask to see if we broke down calls where before we just had a flat rate, so we didn't break them down. We didn't break down transports, standby calls, emergencies. The 800 and something dollars, I don't have that figure right in front of me. That's the highest one, and if ever we charge that, it would be maybe once or twice a year. And that is for the highest level of care where we use most of our equipment, most of the volunteers, and then the least call would be a medevac transport or transporting someone from home to the hospital because they're non-ambulatory. excuse me, and referencing the Medicare allowable was purely because they stay with the national standard, so they do the surveys, they find out what the average cost is of ambulance services to transport and treat patients. And so that was just a term, or is a term used, it was referenced with our billing company, and Sitka Fire Department uses that term as well. So is that any different than if we decided to look at everybody's billing and average that out and pick a number out of the air and say this is what we want to charge because that's the average cost? So when you say it's a burden to people who may pay out of pocket, is that any different than if we, again, averaged it and said, okay, we want to charge $600? And so by saying Medicare allowable, that would allow us to change the rates to change either up or down based on the national standard. Does that make sense?
I understand.
Okay.
I mean, I still don't agree with the premise
right.
of it, but I definitely understand. Thank you.
Okay. And then one more thing, and I'm not promoting either direction. Obviously, we need to raise our rates, but at the $300 that we're currently charging, if we just transport somebody a half a mile and don't use anything, or we use absolutely every piece of equipment and transport them 30 miles, currently they're being charged exactly the same rate. So is that fair to the person that we don't give very much care to versus the person we use everything and throw at them? They pay exactly the same rate. So hence the varying rate based on level of care.
Absolutely. I hear where you're coming from, and I don't want to be advocating for not adjusting our rates.
Right.
I think I agree with you. We need to. It's been a while.
Yeah, agreed.
Cost of, you know, insurance depreciation, et cetera, has gone up. I think where I'm coming from is I'd like to see it done, I think, more accurately. It just seems a little bit loose to me at this point. But again, I take your point. Well taken.
Oh, and I'm sorry, I don't understand what you mean by more accurately.
Meaning in terms of what it costs us to run the thing, to run the service, and what it will cost for ALS Emergent 2, ALS Emergent 1, and maybe it does need to be a flat rate across the board, 4, 5, I don't know. I don't pretend to have that answer right now, but I don't know. If we don't know what it costs to run an ALS Emergent 2, it seems arbitrary to choose $827.29, even though it is in line with the Medicare reimbursable. It doesn't seem in line with actually the cost to provide that service. Does that make sense?
It does. The rate then would change regularly, and it's hard to factor in because we don't pay the volunteers. And yeah. So this rate, obviously, is probably mostly for paid services. And how much it costs to house the vehicle and the electricity to use, you know, that type of stuff. So I guess I don't know what the answer would be.
May I?
Yes, please.
Jody, I know on the billing company, do we know if they can provide that level of detail to us?
You know, I emailed them this morning when I saw your email and asked them. I'm assuming they do break it out because they bill all the insurance companies and they probably have to label what type of call it is. So I'm hoping by the end of the week we'll have better, not accurate numbers to be able to give an estimate of if we were to move to this new increased rate, what our revenue stream would be then.
Could you, would it be possible for you to work with Sandy to, you know, break it down to that level?
And I was just wondering, a question for Sandy, did you, when you're trying to come up with the cost, did you also include, like, the finance departments, you know, like we pay your AP bills and we do your pay for just you?
That didn't count. The number that I threw out doesn't count my time, which I provide all the training to the volunteers. It doesn't count the time that I spend restocking the ambulance and sending stuff to the billing company. It does not count what we pay the billing company for their fee, which is 10.5% of what they collect, and or 5%, whichever is greater. Again, not the building. That doesn't include liability for providing the ambulance service or workers' compensation for the volunteers. Those were numbers I just didn't have at this point. And I know Jody can do a little better with what we've paid Omni, the billing company, which we have to do because they're helping us collect more money than we collected before, so, and keeping us on track. So it was a very loose number, the 369 or whatever number I said, 359 per call. So we can come up with a little better number, but it would be really hard based on the fact that we were just charging a flat rate before. And sorry, one more. It would be hard to charge the amount of equipment not knowing what we would use on a call. So we've talked about using charging consumables before. So if you use a monitor, if you use AED pads, if you use a Band-Aid, if you use oxygen, if you start an IV, that type of thing. And that's why just this average, super rural, that's what we're classified as for the type of community that we are, that Medicare allows to charge. So.
Yes, Bob.
I'd like to see us look at what I'll call a multi-tiered system. If you were to come have to do something at my place, you're going to use the harbor boat, you're going to use multiple systems in order to do it. I'd like to see us look at something that looks at those costs also, using that boat to transport people back to, you know, someplace where you can pick it up with an ambulance versus just doing something here on the road system or even going to the end of the road system or even, for instance, when you go to Kupernoff to bring somebody across, you know. I think we really need to look at some kind of a multi-tiered system to do it. And I think we ought to make some estimate of what our actual costs are to do that type of thing. And I think most folks outside understand that, you know, there is a higher cost when you bring some, you know, you have to bring somebody in by boat and so forth. And I'd really like to see us, you know, at least yourself and some others, look at some of those, a multi-tiered system that looks at those various factors, those various cost factors to put in there. I think it would make more sense to me, anyhow.
Can I?
Yes.
We did talk about doing that, especially before we were a borough, talked about resident versus non-resident fee, on-island versus off-island, and the cost that we incur. At this point, I'm not sure that we can charge for the boat. through the insurance company. We asked a few years ago if we could do that, or if it has to be a separate cost, because it's not a certified ambulance transport vehicle type of thing. So that would be an out-of-pocket expense for someone. I know GLOW would look at charging people when we use the boat to go pick someone up. I guess my only issue, which is why we were doing the flat rate before, I think it was like $75 before it went to $100, and then it was $100 forever, and then it went to the $300, was because it's a volunteer system. We only have two paid staff. I'm the only one that deals with the ambulance stuff. Jody's got her stuff. We have a billing company now, but they have other clients, and we don't pay them very much. And so if you break it down too much, who's going to track all of that stuff? So you're going to lose track. And so I'm, again, not dissuading it. If that's what you would like to do, I will absolutely pursue it. And we can come up with a little better number of what it costs to go. And it would have to be an average cost, because each run's going to be different, because we don't currently don't charge for mileage. And so each run, would you would add mileage into it. So.
Yeah. I'm not arguing what that should be, but I do think we need to have some better costs on that, and even using the harbor boat to transport and so forth. There is a cost associated with that.
Agreed.
Would the assembly be comfortable with deferring, tabling the vote and allow us some time to pull some numbers together, more numbers together?
Yeah, I was going to make, go ahead, Nancy, I think.
If Medicare does a rate study nationwide, would any study that we did here just be duplicating their research? I mean, if some other group has studied these things, would this just
ours
be
is more
redundant?
More local, theirs is more average nationwide. And so if you look at the survey that I provided to you, I just tried to pick communities around Southeast, and then the ones that Steve suggested that we use as comparable communities. Some of them I got responses, some I didn't, and currently we're way under that. Some are higher than ours, and even if we went up to their rates, then we're going to be revisiting this again. So how often do we look at this, our community?
One of the things, that's why the Medicare was thrown in there,
right.
Was a way that the rates could, as Medicare changes their rates, ours could change without having it to be
without doing a survey,
having to go back through the whole process all over again.
Right.
Some benchmark to tie it to, just to cut our admin time down. But I think we could get to Jay's point. We could get average costs of certain types of runs and base rates upon that. Or compare them to what we've already done, I suppose.
The most minute of details on that doesn't make a lick of sense to me. My place is just that it doesn't seem fair to people, to working families, to take a jump from 300 up to 829. And I know that's the extreme example, the 829 one. Adds more burden on the taxpayer, that's all. And but I hear where you're coming from. Thank you.
So I would move to delay a decision until next meeting or the following one, depending on which, when you can pick up some information, make another proposal.
Is there a second on that?
Is there a motion on the floor?
Yeah, second.
To table it.
To table it.
Table
it.
Till next meeting?
Yes.
Is that enough time?
Wait.
Do you want to withdraw my previous motion? So my second has to withdraw the second first, I believe is how it's done. Because now we now have two motions on the floor.
That's correct.
Bob, if you can withdraw your first motion to approve, and then we'll go with the motion to table.
So I'll withdraw the motion to approve.
So that the motion to approve resolution 2015-12 is withdrawn, and we are voting on tabling the discussion and revisiting it at our next meeting.
May I ask, give us a little flexibility, as like Bob said, that I'm not sure how fast we can get the data. So
is that okay?
Next meeting.
That's what I did, yeah.
Okay. All right. Will the clerk call the roll?
Nancy?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
And that motion is approved to gather more information and present it at a later date. as far as setting fees for emergency medical services in the borough. Moving on to resolution 2015-14, a resolution to temporarily change assembly meeting times for the 2015 summer months of July and August to noon. At the June 15, 2015 meeting, assembly members discussed the idea of temporarily changing all assembly meeting times for the summer months until noon.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved by Jay Stanton Greger, seconded by Bob Lynn, that we approve this resolution. Is there any further discussion? I think I'm probably the only one that's not excited about it, but I can work with this. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? So we are meeting at noon for the remainder of our July and August meetings. Resolution 2015-15 is the next item on the agenda, a resolution appointing a municipal land selection agent. And Steve alluded to this in his manager's report. The Alaska Department of Natural Resources requires appointment of an authorized agent to act on behalf of the Petersburg Borough for land selection under AS29.65.030. The borough staff recommends Community and Economic Development Director Liz Cabrera for the appointment. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Nancy Strand moves and Jay Stanton Greger seconds that we approve this appointment. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Nancy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes. And thank you, Liz. The next item on the agenda is resolution 2015-16, a resolution authorizing the rebuild of Parks and Rec Recreation Boiler Number 2. And we talked about this earlier. Parks and Recreation Director Hayes is requesting authorization to enter into an agreement with Combustion Control for the rebuild of Boiler Number 2 at the Aquatic Center prior to the third and final reading of Ordinance 2015-11 and Ordinance adjusting the FY16 budget for known changes, which includes the transfer of $20,998.76 from the general fund reserves to the Parks and Recreation budget. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved by Nancy Strand, seconded by Bob Lynn, that we approve this resolution. Is there any further discussion on this item? I think we probably covered it pretty thoroughly before. Will the clerk call the roll?
Jay?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes. And that motion, that resolution is unanimously approved. And the next item on the agenda is any communications, if anyone has any communications to report. And the next item on the agenda is assembly discussion items, and we have recognitions as the first item on the agenda. And I know Steve has mentioned it, but I also want to thank the borough staff for how well everything seemed to go during the 4th of July, and all of the volunteers who helped make things happen and the vendors who were out there. It was and Mother Nature, it was great weather. It all in all, it worked out really well. That was a lot of fun. Are there any others? Nancy?
I'd like to recognize favorably everyone who uses their turn signals when they approach the flagging stations. The flaggers may be as close to God as you're going to get on a construction site, but we cannot read minds. And I, as far as I know, overusing your turn signals does not cut short the lifetime of your vehicle. So
very
thank you
point.
For using your turn signals.
Donnie.
Yes, Donnie.
Just one recognition. The 4th of July committee over the years was headed by Ken Slavin for many, many years. And on Saturday morning, I got word that the Sioux passed away on the 4th of July. And I just wanted to recognize their family and the significant help that they've always been to the 4th of July. Even now, they constantly are helping us with new events, storing equipment, letting us borrow equipment. The trading union itself is always very, very supportive. So the 4th of July committee just wants to give our condolences to their family and just wants to recognize them for the constant help and support that they give to our community.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And the next item that we have is the proposed Alaska Marine Highway System ferry schedule seeks public comment. And there is a winter ferry schedule that is available online to look at. And the Alaska Department of Transportation has issued a draft winter ferry schedule and is seeking public comment. Written comments must be received by July 20th, 2015, not 2016. And I asked that we put this as a discussion item in case the Assembly wanted to issue a joint comment to the ferry schedule. And so I put it out there for discussion. And I don't know if in the flurry of 4th of July activities if anyone's had a chance to really look at it just yet.
No, I'd like to, although I would like to take a chance to look at it before okay. we decide, yes. Okay.
Yeah. Is that something that you would like the Assembly to do?
I would think that we should, as a community, send a letter as an Assembly. And I have questions about it. Do you want to understand it? I want to know why there's three Ketchikan 1, 2, 3, and Juneau 1, 2, 3 schedules, and everybody else has only one. I mean, that's just one of the things I don't understand. Looks like it's spending a lot of time in Juneau and not very much time in Petersburg.
All right.
So
I would encourage folks to take a look at the schedule and we'll work with Debbie to draft something. And
so our next meeting is July 20th at noon. So if you guys need me to draft something, I would love ideas ahead of time. Maybe sure. I can draft it and put it in the packet and then change whatever needs to be changed at the meeting or right after the meeting so we can get it in.
All right.
Can you give us a week?
That sounds agreeable.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool.
Okay.
Thanks, Debbie.
Okay.
And the last item on our agenda, we're missing Kurt, but it is to adjourn. I need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
And we are adjourned.
Thanks, sweet.
Petersburg Borough Assembly meetings are brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, helping clients find out how to protect any valuable asset from stamp or teacup collections to houses, boats of all sizes, and everything in between. Plenty of information from the local agents is available at Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, 772-3858.